Very good. Thank you, Tim, for that word now. Now I'd like again to turn to the good word of God in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 14. And just reading from verse number 25, just to get the background to the verse that's on my mind this evening. Matthew 14 and 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, that is the darkest hour of the night, Jesus went unto them, that is unto the 12 disciples who were in a ship trying to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and the wind had been against them. And he came unto them walking on the sea. Not quite remarkable. A stormy sea, and the Son of God is walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And then across to Luke's Gospel, please, in chapter number 17, the Gospel of Luke, and chapter number 17, and reading what is one of the shortest verses in the Bible, the words of the Lord Jesus against a background of coming judgment. And he says to his hearers, "Remember Lot's wife." And then lastly to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and reading at verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 says the apostle Paul, behold, writing to believers in the city of Corinth, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." And that concludes this reading, this further reading of the Word of God this evening. Now, I want to speak to you just for a few moments about three shortest things. We're going to think, first of all, about the shortest prayer that we read of in the Bible. The words of Simon Peter, as he's going down to a watery grave, he says, "Lord, save me." That's the shortest prayer you'll find in the Bible. "Lord, save me." And then we read the solemn words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 17 as he's speaking about coming judgment. And he says, "Remember Lot's wife." Now that's not so much the shortest prayer, but it's the shortest warning that you read of in the Bible. You know, the Bible's full of warnings. Some of them very, very long warnings. In the Old Testament especially. But here's the shortest warning in the Bible. "Remember Lot's wife." And then we read in 1 Corinthians 15, not so much about the shortest prayer or the shortest warning, but the shortest indivisible moment of time. Says the apostle, thinking about the coming of the Lord Jesus that could happen now as I'm preaching, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That is, we're not all going to die. There's going to be Christians living when the Lord Jesus comes. "Behold, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." And there you have the shortest indivisible moment of time. And so we're going to think about these three shortest things, very simply. First of all, to think of the prayer of Simon Peter as he's going down. Because of his unbelief, he's going down. And you know, as he's going down, it's a little picture to us, dear friend, tonight, about the plight of humanity. You see, I believe Peter forms a little illustration of the condition and the danger that men and women and boys and girls are in. We've been hearing about that from Tim tonight. The great danger of being lost. That is, eternally lost. The great danger of going down to eternal perdition. And so Peter presents to us the picture of a helpless sinner. You see, dear friend, Peter couldn't save himself. He was going down to a watery grave, and he could do nothing for himself. And you know, God wants us to understand tonight that we can do nothing for ourselves when it comes to the matter of salvation. Indeed, the Bible says that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Dear friend, you can do nothing of yourself to save yourself. And God would want you to understand tonight, if you're in the meeting and you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus, God wants you to understand that you're a helpless and a hopeless sinner, and that you're lost and you're in danger of being lost forever. Ah, but you know, Peter, as he's going down, you know, I call this the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer. You know, there's some dear folks tonight, and they think that if they say prayers, you know, that God's going to be favourable towards them. Some of them have got prayer books, and they read their prayer books faithfully every day. And some of them perhaps are praying for hours on end, these dear folks that lock themselves away in monasteries and nunneries and what have you, and they spend their life in prayer, and they've got this idea that the longer they pray, you know, the more favourable that God's going to be to them. And it may just be at the end of their life that God will be pleased and he'll welcome them into heaven because of the long prayers. My dear friend, I want to tell you this. If Peter had engaged in long prayers, he would have been lost. This is the shortest prayer, the sinner's prayer. What is it? Just three words. Lord, save me. Save me. And if there's someone in the tent tonight, and you've come to discover that you're lost, perhaps you've been coming to meetings, and you've discovered that you're lost, and that you need to be saved, I want to tell you this, there's no unwillingness on the part of God to save your soul tonight. Indeed, God desires that all men should be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And I want to tell you this, the Lord Jesus tonight, my Saviour, he's not unwilling to save you. Young friend in the tent tonight, older friend in the tent tonight, I want to tell you this, the Lord Jesus longs to save you. That's why he came into the world. As we've been reminded, he came into the world to save sinners. And out of love for you, and love for your never-dying soul, he went all the way to the cross, and there, impaled upon a Roman gibbet, between heaven and earth, and between two common criminals, there the Son of God suffered. And he bled and he died, and he shed his precious blood that he might deliver, be able to redeem you and save you from your sins. Oh, dear friend, the work is all done. Thank God. The work for your salvation is finished. The Lord Jesus has sat himself down at the right hand of God, and the great work necessary and essential for your eternal salvation is finished. It is finished, says the Saviour on the cross. It is finished. It is finished. Thank God, this sacrificial work of Christ is complete and need never be repeated. And tonight we are pointing you not to a religion and not to a prayer house. We are pointing you to a person. We're pointing you to the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners. And like Peter, my dear friend, tonight, if you want to be saved in this tent, if you want to be saved now in this tent, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do what Peter did. Lord, save me. And he will save you. If that's the cry of your heart, tell me, dear friends, in the front here to the back, in the back to the front, tell me, are you saved? Are you saved? As you sit in this tent, I'm not asking you if you're religious or you say your prayers. I'm asking you, are you saved? Do you have the assurance that your sins are forgiven and that you're saved? Dear friend, tonight, don't end the day uncertain, unsure as to whether you're saved or not. You can settle it now in this very meeting. You can settle it now. In fact, you don't even need to wait till the end of the meeting. You can settle it now. I remember I was preaching in a place called Tayport in Scotland, and the little hall was filled. And we were preaching that night on a very solemn subject of coming judgment and of the way of salvation. And there was a dear man sitting in the audience, and I could see he was getting more and more restless, and his face was getting redder and redder. And I wondered what was coming. And suddenly he put up his hand, he stood up, and he said, I've been coming to these meetings now for a couple of weeks. And he says, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior tonight. Dear friend, that Robert West, he couldn't wait to the end of the meeting. He was so afraid that he would die in a meeting and go down to hell and be lost forever. And he couldn't wait. And he stood up and said, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he did. He received him there and then in the meeting. And he's still going on for God tonight. I tell you, dear friend, you can be saved right this very moment if you'll only but believe God and believe the word of God and put your trust in Christ. And the moment you trust Jesus, you're saved forever. Lord, save me. I say, someone will now, Dan, that's good news. And I know I need to get saved, but not yet. Not yet. Perhaps you're thinking, well, I'll just tarry a little bit longer at the broken systems of worldly pleasure. And maybe someday I'll get salvation, but not tonight. Well, says the Lord Jesus, remember Lot's wife. Well, you see, what was special about Lot's wife that I should remember her? Well, I'll tell you very simply. Lot's wife was a woman that was almost saved. You see, she lived in a city that was condemned. Dear friend, you're living in a world that's condemned. You're living in a world that's condemned for judgment, and the judgment's coming. And this woman, she lived in the city of Sodom, a wicked, evil city. And it was condemned by God because of its wickedness. But you know, God is merciful. And he sent two angels all the way from heaven. He sent two angels to Sodom that they might rescue Lot and his wife and his daughters. And you know, it says, it came to pass as they tarried. Isn't that solemn? Why, these angels are telling them, the Lord's going to consume the city tonight with fire. And they're tarrying. They were reluctant to leave. I don't understand that. I think I swallowed a fly there. Reluctant to leave. And they literally had to drag them outside the city. And he brought them to the gate, and they pointed to the mountain, and he said, escape for thy life. Escape to yonder mountain. Look not behind you, lest thou be consumed. They were warned. And there they are, the four of them. They're escaping up the mountain. And the judgment's about to fall upon Sodom. And what does Lot's wife do? It says she looked longingly behind her. It wasn't an accidental look. She didn't stumble and accidentally look back. No, no, she deliberately looked back. And the idea is she looked longingly back to Sodom. You know why? Because that's where her heart was. Sodom. She loved Sodom. Do you know what happened? That woman was turned to a pillar of salt. As quick as that. 1 minute, the blood was pumping. The heart was pumping the blood through her body. She had a living woman, living flesh. And the next minute, she was dead. A pillar of stone, a pillar of salt. I tell you how solemn, dear friend. And the Lord Jesus is saying to you tonight, you remember Lot's wife. Oh, she was almost saved. She was almost there. But she disobeyed. She disobeyed the gospel. She disobeyed the word of God. And she perished. My dear friend, listen and attend tonight. Don't make the mistake that Lot's wife made. Don't disobey the gospel. Don't look back to your sins and to the pleasures of sin. My dear friend, trust Christ tonight whilst you can. I tell you this, time is fast running out for this world. I believe with all my heart in the imminent return of Jesus Christ to the air. And he's going to remove the church, the true church. He's going to remove the true church. What do I mean by the true church? Every true believer, every saved soul from Pentecost when Christianity began to the last one is saved in his age of grace. He's going to remove his church. He's going to snatch the church away from this world. Away from what? Away from the wrath to come. Away from the judgment. Away from the judgment that's coming upon this world. I tell you, there's coming a day soon when this planet is going to shake to and fro like a drunken man under the judgment of God, my friend. You're living in a world that's condemned. But you know, the believer in the Lord Jesus is a wonderful hope. And says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. You know, it's wonderful to think that there's going to be Christians living when the Lord Jesus comes into the air with that commanding shout to take his church away from the wrath to come. Perhaps tonight, if the Lord was to come now, every living believer in this tent will be changed, their bodies changed, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. See that word moment? It's the smallest indivisible measurement of time. Where we get our word atom from. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, half a blink, this body of mine will be changed. The dead in Christ will be raised first, and then the living Christians changed, and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I hope we're all ready for the coming of the Lord. And the only way to be ready is to get saved, to have salvation. The Lord is coming. Don't miss the opportunity tonight. You trust Christ whilst you can. We commence the meeting with that lovely promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. I remember speaking to a dying man up in Kirkconnell. No, Sanker, next to Kirkconnell, Dumfriesshire. His name was was Francis Pagan. And Francis was lying, and he was dying. And I prayed with him. And as I was praying, he began to cry out, "Lord, of mercy. Lord of mercy," he kept saying it. "Lord, help me," crying out. And I stopped him. I said, "Francis, listen, you're lying there. You're on the brink of eternity. And you're calling upon the Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Shall be saved." "I've got it," he said. "I've got it." What a transformation came over him. He got salvation. He'd been calling, but he claimed that promise, "Shall be saved." And with the joy of burying him just 2 weeks later, burying him as a saved man. After that, a number of his family got saved. A wonderful story. Dear friend, listen. Take God at his word. God has promised that anyone, any child, any adult, any sinner, how deep into sin they've sunk, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, like Peter, "Lord, save me," and immediately he will save you. Dear friend, he'll save you where you are, and he'll save you as you are. And you'll be ready for the coming of the Lord. That'll be a wonderful thing. Now we'll just close the meeting, a little word of prayer.